So this morning, right now, we'd like to welcome Nancy Heaton once again back, talking a little bit about the Foundation for Community Health. Nancy, good morning.
Morning, Marshall.
It's nice to have you back on the air. Once again, what I always try to do, I think what the Foundation really tries to do, is have people better understand what the Foundation for Community Health is, and very quickly, for people that are listening, what it is that you do and how you do it.
So the Foundation for Community Health will soon be 20 years old, so that's exciting. And we have been dedicated to improving the health and well-being of the communities that are in our service area, which includes the nine towns in Connecticut and eight towns in New York, all along the border of, between the two states. And we've done that in many different ways, but we are primarily a grant-making organization. So, for example, this past year we spent over $1 million, and we average over $1 million a year in grant-making. But we also help organizations in a number of different ways and support beyond the grant and putting people and networks together and introducing people. Lots of other things.
Yeah, and what's so interesting about what you do, unlike a lot of organizations that do make grants, or when you make grants or when you help organize, you're a great organizer for nonprofits. That's it. Once everything's organized and set up and the grant's done, whatever it is, that entity really does get the knowledge and the training from you and the advice where they can go on and anticipate to be successful.
Well, that's the hope,
yeah.
And sometimes we can provide that because some of we all have our own experiences that we can share, and we love to provide assistance beyond a grant and support. But if we don't, we try to connect them with people, or sometimes people call and ask for is there a board I should be on or something like that. So we really do try to connect people to the resources that they need. And. And I think going forward, this strategic plan that we've been talking about the last year or two with you is really for us to focus more on that. How do we really strengthen the local network of care that we have and make it more resilient? So we're being much more intentional on how we work with those organizations.
I know one of the latest things that publicly that you've done, and it took years to put together because of COVID, but that is the in-school health over in the Weaverton School District. And I don't know whether or not that provided the impetus, but Region 1 now is looking at that to possibly implement in Region 1.
Yes, yeah, so, it was the perfect, story, and I keep telling and celebrating the communities around Weaverton School because they really did the homework themselves. They had, an advocate in their nurse at their school, and they went out and they found this model that we, have been encouraging organizations, but they went out and did a lot of the homework and convinced the boards and the community to work on bringing that to their community, and we just helped them go over the last hurdle by providing support for them to actually build out the structure. And it's a very exciting thing because that is a fully operational school-based health center with mental health services, and they'll do the dental screenings there, and they'll also they have vaccinations and full primary care. So that's very exciting. And in Region 1, we've actually funded an organization, a new grantee partner called Connecticut Association of School-Based Health Centers, to have the conversation with our local FQHC or Federally Qualified Health Center, the Community Health and Wellness organization, to see what could that look like in Region 1, which is a different entity. We have six individual schools, and it's very over a large, geographic area. So what would it look like in a school that's so decentralized? So they're going to work together and work with the school district to see if there's a possibility of doing, a similar but unique to Region 1's profile.
Now, isn't you mentioned the dental? Wasn't the dental program one of the first things you did as a region wide effort to have students have their teeth checked? Wasn't that one of the first things you did?
Yeah, actually, it was even a thought before I was hired.
Okay.
So I was hired 6 months into it, the organization. But we had a dentist, Dr. Martin Nuia, who's still in Sharon, and he had a connection with a Harvard that was doing that kind of work there and thought it would be interesting to do here and to do a study. And so one of the first things, yeah, that I was responsible for, and that's how actually Gertrude was brought on, was to do a survey, look into the mouths literally of every third grader in our catchment area that we could get the schools to agree to. There was one school that wouldn't agree to it, but and we found out there was a need. And then based on that need, we worked with the Harvard postgrads to develop a program that's similar to what they were doing in Cambridge, to provide free screenings and sealants directly in the school for anyone regardless of ability to pay. And we've been doing that for probably, that's our longest running continuous project that we've funded. Well, that or transportation, actually, yeah. That's probably the same too.
Well, 20 years under your belt being celebrated this year. Everybody in the organization must feel incredible because there were a lot of questions in the beginning, but you took some money that was a result of the sale of the Sharon Hospital, and now 20 years later, what a difference you've made in the lives of people in this area.
Well, it was, starting from scratch. I didn't have any experience in this, and on our board, I think there was one person who had some experience, and we looked at, we did a lot of needs assessment in the beginning, talked to a lot of providers, social workers, people in the community to decide, what is it that really needed to be done. And originally, we identified, program or service, access to services as really being the priority. And so that's why we focused for much of our 20 years specifically on how to increase access to health-related services, concentrating on mental health or behavioral health services and oral health services. But in the strategic planning process, which, started at the same time COVID started, we really did a deep dive and realized, we have a lot of terrific organizations able to do a lot of things, but they're hurting. They were, the whole crisis was very impactful. So what could we do to actually take a broader view to really strengthen the services? Because, you can provide rides or you can provide more clinical access, but really what was needed was, let's look at the social determinants of health. Let's look at the organizations that exist now and how can we make them more resilient going forward so they're less dependent on things like us. And so that's how our shift happened. But we still maintain all those relationships. We're still working with a lot of the same people. We're just expanding who we're working with. So it's a natural growth, I think.
All right, so talk a little bit about your strategic plan heading into the next 20 years.
Well, hopefully it's broad enough to actually keep us going. So if we're dedicated to strengthening those organizations that we believe contribute to the health and well-being of the community, so an expansion of, working with literally health provider kinds of organizations, we've done a lot of work in the last year in housing because housing is, has a huge impact. And where you live and where you grow up and where you, work are all have great impact on the health, your current health and your future health, predicts more about your health conditions going forward than even access to clinical care. So that's one of the reasons that we're also not only strengthening organizations but looking at our community assets, which could be a library, could be the hospital, it could be the private schools. What exists here that helps keep our communities vibrant and healthy, and is there a way that they could more and better contribute to the health and well-being of the community? So we talk to see if there's an opportunity for us to work with them. I'd say the major change or the big shift in where we really need to be going more is to do more, we're going to call it advocacy and education, but it's how can we help local decision makers make really, good decisions? How can we provide them with information and support and to be better at making decisions on a very local level and also at a state level? And our grantees have also asked us in the grantee perception survey, can we help them be better noticed on a state level or further up? And how can we also make sure that the public itself is educated on topics so that they're working with their local decision makers in a healthy engaged way. And so that's all new for us, so we're going to be working on that.
But I guess the last thing that you're working on, it's not come to fruition yet. Well, the Community Health and Wellness Center, that's to go along with housing, because people need housing to live in this area, and to attract people in here, we need jobs, but we also need a better health care.
Yes, and primary care specifically. And we've been, you know, for the first few years, it was all about behavioral health care because it was just leaving the organ, you know, leaving the area, we really weren't having as success. But during that time, we also, the attrition in primary care was even, you know, happening at the same time. And so I looked it up, and in 2007, I had my first conversation with Community Health and Wellness to come out in this organization, to come out this way. So if I had one thing I would say that I was, I don't know, proud of or feel good about the last 20 years is we do stick with things when we really believe in them. Sometimes it can take a really long time to happen, but they should be opening their doors next January to everyone.
Well, that stick-to-itiveness is what's important, and you being a body out here, the Foundation for Community Health out here, your board, you're all very localized. You can have that stick-to-itiveness that some big organizations just don't have. They want to do projects, they want to do them right away, but you have the ability to act very quickly on your feet.
We do, and, you know, we're lucky enough to be in a rural area, which can be challenging for a lot of people, but I also think, you know, it's easier to make the relationships, really understand where people are at and say, you know what, this isn't the time, we'll keep working at it. Maybe it's, you know, I think we can have deeper and more intentional conversations, be more open and transparent with our grantees, and I think we've done a lot of that. Have always been that way to a certain extent, but part of our strategic plan, just in how we want to be as an organization, was to do more of that. And so, for example, the perception survey, so this is our second year, but we will be asking our grantees every year, like, are we doing a good job? Are we telling you the truth? Are you feeling really comfortable with us? You know, all kinds of things. Have we made it easier for you or not made it easier? Because we're trying to change our processes to make us more accessible, more transparent, and easier to access.
Well, I think what you've done in 20 years is absolutely amazing, and the amount of people that you've touched and organizations is amazing as well. And congratulations, and keep it up for another 20 years.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Marshall. You've done a lot for the community also, so thank you for these opportunities.
All right, Nancy. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Once again, the Foundation for Community Health there. CEO Nancy Heaton. They have just done an amazing job out here in the past 20 years.